When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm Tirza Price, coming to you from Book Riot. This is episode 333.5, and this week I'm going to be diving into the stacks to talk about two great books that will probably creep you out just a little bit because, you know, tis the season. But first, let's hear from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang. So this is an interesting love story. It's great for fans of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow and High Fidelity. It's set in the mid-90s at NYU. And it follows young Wang, who has gotten the advice of love through Chinese numerology from his uncle. So he believes that he will have seven great loves in his life. And then he meets Irena in 95. And she's like the best. She's brilliant, charismatic, quick-witted, funny. They fall in love. But the thing is, she's number six. So if he is to have seven great loves, does that mean his time with Irena is going to come to an end? So this is a love letter to Western pop culture, Eastern traditions, and being a first-generation New Yorker. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo. This is one I'm actually super excited about. I liked Leigh Bardugo's other adult fantasy books, and so I'm really looking forward to this one. It's set in the Spanish Golden Age during a time of high-stakes political intrigue and glittering wealth. It follows Luzia, a servant in the household of an impoverished Spanish nobleman who reveals a talent for little miracles. Her social climbing mistress demands Luzia use her gifts to win over Madrid's most powerful players, but what begins as simple amusement takes a dangerous turn. Luzia will need to use every bit of her wit and will to survive, even the help of Guillén Santángel, an immortal familiar whose own secrets could prove deadly for them both. So The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo is on sale now. And like I said, it's a must-read of the season. It's perfect for anyone who loves history, a little bit of magic, a lot of danger. You can get your copy now at leighbardugothefamiliar.com. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo, for sponsoring this episode.
All right, so the two books I picked this week, I picked them because, you know, it's October. I always like reading atmospheric things in October. And I decided to pick two books that I have read in the past that really did a great job of creeping me out. But one is more of a thriller and one is actually like a straight up horror novel. So if you have different tolerances for different things, just know that. My first pick is When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole, and this is the more thriller side of things. Content warning for gaslighting, racism, and I believe there's like some drugging without consent. I can't remember any of the other sort of content warnings, so just heads up about that. But this one is about a woman named Sydney. She's a Black woman from a neighborhood in Brooklyn, and she really loves her neighborhood. She's grown up there. Her mom owns a house there, and she has always kind of just thought that, like, you know, it's a great place to live, and she has returned home after being away for a while. But when she returns home, she's a bit shocked to find that the neighborhood has changed. Most obviously is the fact that there are like white people all up and not down her block. And this has been, you know, a traditionally black neighborhood. And she is seeing these, you know, white families move in seemingly overnight and take over houses that, you know, used to belong to her neighbors and her friends. And so obviously that is very upsetting to see. And she's very emotional about it. And she really just is not liking the tenor of the neighborhood. So she decides that, like, one of the things that she's going to do to try to preserve the neighborhood's history is she wants to come up with, like, this really authentic sort of walking neighborhood tour. And she's kind of inspired by it when she goes on a walking neighborhood tour of her own neighborhood. And she finds that the person leading it is just kind of whitewashing and brushing over history. And she gets really mad about that. So her whole thing is she's doing all this research to come up with her own neighborhood walking tour. And she meets Theo. And Theo is a white man who has moved in with his girlfriend in the brownstone across the street from Sydney. And she immediately kind of just dismisses Theo as just, you know, another one of those new white people with money that have come into her neighborhood and are changing everything. However, when some circumstances kind of put them together, Theo offers to become her research assistant and help her out with this walking tour. And she reluctantly and cautiously agrees. And as the two of them sort of get to know each other and they start looking into not only the history of the neighborhood, but like where are their neighbors actually going, they start to notice some really weird things that are happening. And one of the most alarming things that they notice is that like people that they talk to one day who have no interest in moving all of a sudden disappear the next week. And like they can't get a hold of them. They have no idea where these people went. So obviously something very fishy is going on. So Sydney and Theo start really investigating, and maybe they start to realize that like there's a darker sort of force at work. And at first they're kind of dismissed as conspiracy theorists, but when Sydney uncovers something that makes her question her trust in Theo, she knows that she is onto something. I think that this book is really, like, it's just really well written, but then it's like a really great book if you like a sort of slow burn, sort of suspenseful book with like kind of like this ooze of paranoia into it. Like, it's not like jump into your face scary, but from the very beginning, this book made me so angry and frustrated because it's just like, and not because I didn't like the book, but like the story made me frustrated and angry because it's so insidious how, you know, the people who are coming into this neighborhood and they're treating Sydney like crap, even though she's, you know, been there her entire life, and she slowly starts to suspect what's going on. But like nobody's really being forthcoming and honest. And it's really, really unfair. And that is the sort of, I don't know, that's its own sort of horror right there, is the injustice and how easily it happens and how quickly it takes hold in this neighborhood. So this book had some really great, exciting twists that honestly I did not see coming. And when I did, you know, finally see them, I was cheering because I love them so much. This is a really excellent novel. Alyssa Cole has written a lot of romance, but I believe this is her first thriller. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I hope that Alyssa Cole writes more thrillers. So that was When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole. It is excellent. My next creepy pick is the outright horror one. And I want to give a content warning heads up for gore, animal death, unfortunately. And I think there, you know, there is some gun violence, but mostly the big thing that sticks out in my memory is the gore and animal death, which personally, I think if I had known that going in, I'm not sure if I would have picked up this book. I'm glad I read this book, but just know that it gets dark. So, The Only Good Indians by Stephen Graham Jones. It is about this group of friends. They grew up in the Blackfeet Reservation, and they are in their like late teens, early 20s when they decide to go hunting. and they're hunting on the reservation and they're not catching anything. And they make a decision that turns out to be pretty fateful, because 10 years later, these four friends are kind of scattered. One is dead. One has left the reservation, and his name is Lewis. And we start out in his perspective for the first part of the book. And so Lewis kind of feels, you know, proud of all that he's accomplished in the last 10 years. He works for the U.S. Postal Service. He has a wonderful partner. She is white. But he feels like, you know, he's finally, like, making some progress in his life, and they've just rented a new house that he really likes. And he's thinking that, like, you know, he's got a good life. He's got a good thing going. But then he starts to feel like weird things are happening. And he feels like people around him are acting weird. His dog dies in a really, you know, violent and horrific way. And he starts to feel like he's seeing this, like, shadow of an elk. And he knows what this is all about, although you don't as the reader quite understand yet. And so as he kind of descends into this paranoia and he's trying to figure out, like, what is it that's stalking him, he comes to find out that an elk that he and his friends killed 10 years earlier has come back for revenge. And it begins to stalk him. And it stalks his other two friends. And you just kind of know that, like, this is not going to end well for anybody. This book is so tense and has, like, one of the longest, most prolonged scenes or series of scenes of, like, just absolute suspense. I was listening to this on audio, and I just remember sitting there listening, like, barely able to move, because I'm like, it just keeps going. When are you going to get that, like, sort of release of tension? And I don't know, Graham Jones offers some release eventually, but he really strings you along for quite a while. I mentioned that this was dark and it gets a bit violent and, you know, there's some gore. But at the same time, none of it ever felt gratuitous, because I do like reading horror books. I'm more of a wimp when it comes to horror movies, but I can, you know, I can still read and watch those sorts of things. But, like, gore is usually, like, kind of my line, just because most of it's just blood splatter for the sake of shock. I don't think that Stephen Graham Jones does that in this book. Like, it's all very intentional, and there's a reason and a consequence for every action in this. And it's just, I think, very overall, it's just very impactful. So this is a really great book that, you know, talks about, I think, like, shared responsibility in your community, in your culture, sort of like the consequences of when you decide to break the rules and then, you know, have this large force that's going to come after you expecting some consequences. This is a really interesting book, and I also appreciate that you see, I think, a sort of varied example of Indigenous life. Like, you have Lewis, who is not living on the Blackfeet Reservation, but of course, this whole story starts with what happens on the Blackfeet Reservation 10 years earlier. That's where it ends as well. And you just have a really interesting and very varied cast of characters. So it might be a little bit challenging if gore and descriptions of gore are not for you, but overall, I think this is definitely a worthwhile pick. And that is The Only Good Indians by Stephen Graham Jones. And that is it for me today. I hope that you are staying safe and well-stocked with books this weekend. And thank you so much to our sponsor. You can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please show us some love by leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Also, it is Book Riot's 10-year anniversary this month. So hard to believe. But this month only, we are offering exclusive merch. So make sure to go to the website and check that out, because that will be gone when October is gone. And finally, as always, thank you to our sound editor, Jen Zink. Finally, if you want to connect with me or see pictures of my books and very sassy cats, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Tirza Price. That's TirzaHPrice. And I will be back next month on a regular episode of All the Books with Liberty and with more backlist book recommendations. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend.